It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, a very special episode as we're honoring our great players. So a lot of players we did from our nostalgia party back in July. And we pre-recorded the interviews and unfortunately didn't get a chance to play them that night. But with me right now, my usual suspects, my partners in crime, Kyle from the Brains Barber. What's up, dude?
Not much, David. How you doing?
Great to have you here, as always. You're always a lot of fun. I can't wait for people to, on our next event, for people to come out and meet you. And then, obviously, Bubba Rosenbaum. Bubba, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Just weathering some heavy rains right now, but I'm sure it's nothing in comparison to what you guys have had to endure down in Eastern North Carolina. Thoughts and prayers with you.
Thank you, and I know people want to meet you as well, a star quarterback back in the day. He's our quarterback for our team, too, especially when it comes to the players. And, again, I can't say enough. I appreciate you, Bubba, for all your hard work this summer. We did a lot of work and want to make sure we honor our players. And if you haven't heard, folks, you can obviously listen back to our show. I know Bubba's been working really hard on. We have it archived, and we had a whole bunch of people watch on Facebook Live that night, and it's on Facebook and different places, and of course wherever you hear our great podcast as well. You can go back. It was July the 21st to be exact for that live episode. Yeah. We'll have another one coming up very soon, and you can get your picture with Kyle from LaGrange. I know he'll do it, and some autographs.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
Only for ladies. Hey guys, okay. David, you probably just confused some people in Pirate Nation when you said called Bubba the star quarterback. Somebody just went, when the hell did Bubba Rosenbaum go to Carolina?
Unfortunately, never.
Give where you play. Hey, man, honor where you play, dude. You were Division III quarterback. Where'd you play?
I finished up at Averett University in Danville, Virginia. So I was a quarterback and then also punted.
All right.
There you go. Well, he's a star of our show. How about that?
That works.
And Kyle from LaGrange is a star as well. And I'm just here along for the ride. I'm here like a dog. But anyway, you know the
good dog.
Yeah, exactly. I'm along for the ride.
Okay, I got like a dog. I hear it up so, today.
Yeah, exactly. So I know we have three great players from the Logan era. That's going to be our theme tonight. Today here on the podcast, whenever you're listening. And Bubba, I know the first one we've got is a very special guy. All three are, but who are we starting with first?
Obviously, down through our proud football history at ECU, we've had tremendous linebacker play. And the first guest tonight is going to be a linebacker from the Liberty Bowl era. He was a big part of those 94-95 teams, Mark Libiano. Mark hailed from Pennsylvania, but now is actually out in California. So we'll talk a little bit about what he's up to now as well.
All right, let's go to that star linebacker, Mark Libiano, during the Logan era. Let's go to him right now. We go from one great player to another right now here on the Pirate Football Nostalgia Party. We have with us Mark Libiano from California. How you doing, Mark?
Great. Thanks for having me.
I know you're originally from Pennsylvania, right?
Definitely from eastern Pennsylvania, about 8 hours north of ECU.
I was going to ask you right out of the gate as far as recruiting, what led you to East Carolina? I know that it seems like now that we don't have that northern pipeline, if you will, from like Pennsylvania, Ohio, New Jersey. I think John Spellacy's from Ohio. I think he's maybe the only one on the team from the north.
You know what? It's actually funny. Bill Lewis went to school with my dad at East Stroudsburg, so there's a little – there's a little kind of connection between there. And then, you know, it's funny you guys say that, but when I came down, I committed. Jamie Gray out of Phoenixville was there. Kenny Carroll was out of North Philly. There's been a few guys from Jersey. There's a few guys over there. So it's, you know, us Northerners wanted to come down and actually play on natural grass and have a good time. So that was kind of the attraction. And then Coach Lewis, like I said, had a previous attraction and beneficiary with my dad and a few other of my longtime teachers and things like that. So that's kind of how the whole situation came about, but, you know, once you come visit and see the people and see how everything molds together, I mean, that kind of seals the deal. So you can have a nice little attraction, but when you come down and meet the people and understand what the whole program's about, that's kind of what where everything kind of falls in line.
Absolutely, and you had a chance to play under a great coach in Coach Logan. What were your thoughts about Coach?
Well, Coach Logan did his thing. You know, I think he was a little bit more offensive-oriented, to say the least. I think he was a good guy, did what he needed to do. I think all his players loved him, and we all kind of got along. His recruiting was you know, what kind of set us apart. You know, we had all gritty guys and people that wanted to go there and play there and wanted to be a part of something. So I think that was one of the good things. You know, he won some games and did some things like that. So it's all fun. One of the things I truly blessed about is how many different coaches that was under his tree that actually went on to be head coaches, defensive coordinators, guys in the NFL, head coaches in college. And, you know, if you guys take a look back at that, it's truly special to see how many different guys were actually major influences in the program. You know, I think maybe there's one or two guys that actually only made it to defensive coordinator in college. But other than that, you know, Jags and Pagano's head coach, and
right.
Coach Barry is, you know, head coach. I mean,
Doug Martin.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You just forget how many guys were on that staff. I think there was literally like one or two guys that didn't make, but all the other ones are head coaches, defensive coordinators, NFL coaches. I mean, even Coach Babb was my, after Pagano, I went over to play inside linebacker. Coach Babb was my defensive coach where, he was a defensive coordinator in the NFL for years. So, I mean, it just kind of shows you the talent and how smart everyone kind of was back in the day. And just grateful that, you know, just their hearts back and kind of move us in the right direction and kind of keeping us back to the little chip on the shoulder that we used to have, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. That was a nice segue there for me. I was going to ask you that very thing later on, but I'll ask you now. I love hearing you on Pirate Radio when you call in, even now. But I want to get your take on, before we talk about your career in more in depth, what do you think, what does it take to right the ship, so to speak, for the Pirates for this year? That's why we're celebrating tonight. A lot of great memories, a lot of great wins, great players, coaches, and so forth. What do you think it's going to take for Coach Montgomery and the team this year?
You know, it's kind of funny because the first couple games last year, I just watched. I mean, obviously, I had a few Pirate beverages, just like the rest of us. But either you kind of you watch everything and you kind of take notes. And, you know, some of my notes were, you know, talking about counterplays and just things that you kind of watch and know as a football player, as a coach, as guys that you see happen. And I was kind of a little frustrated. And then next thing you know, game two and three, all that stuff started coming in. And then the special teams started filling in. So, you know, he just needs to kind of keep doing what he's doing. And just, you know, I don't know. A lot of the guys are like, you know, the talent's not there. But ECU kids, man, you just get them going, they'll go. So it's a little fine line there. And I think just watching recruiting from afar and publications and things are kind of on track right now. So hopefully he can just keep doing what he's doing. I mean, you got Coach Connors there. I mean, I could just keep talking about Connors forever, and everyone knows he's kind of, you know, a staple of our program. And he's the guy that's been there for 30 years and, you know, he runs the program and makes sure the guys do what they do. So,
It seems with Coach Connors, he's kind of like the Energizer Bunny, or like wine. He gets better and better with age, man. He's tough as nails even today.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I went there. I mean, we had all the Pennsylvania connections. He was from Pennsylvania. when I went down there, he started talking about wrestling coaches that, you know, my dad's dad knew and he knew, and, you know, there's fellowships of throughout the, you know, what happened. So, I mean, that's 30 years, man. So he's been doing it. And that's, like I said, that's one of the reasons why I went down there, because I knew it would keep me in the straight and narrow and make sure I did what I needed to do. So he's still there. That's a big credit to the university. And, you know, you guys, we got to just kind of keep tapping that resource and make sure we're all good to go, you know?
Yeah, and to have that, I've used the term a lot, but true grit. It really seems that when you guys played, and I guess selfishly you're one of my all-time favorites because you were there, you and I are about the same age, and I graduated from 95, and I remember you playing. In fact, I feel old now because we didn't have a boneyard. Our boneyard was Section 16, 17, and 18, which is Pirate Club section now. So,
do you remember?
I got to see a lot of great games.
Do you remember when they just, like, every year it was like, every year we came on the field, it was like they switched it. I'm like, well, where's the student section?
Yeah.
Oh, they're over here. We were on the one side of the field the one year, and the next side it was another year. And
yeah.
It was like, it's crazy. But now, that's one of the things that I know that you guys were interviewing a few of the other guys, and that's one of the things I'm just so proud of. Some of the older guys that put in the grit and did what they did. And I mean, you just look at, you know, the new press box going up, and it's just kind of like, that is awesome that you're a part of. And then, like you said, in closing, one of the sides of the end zone, and then the upper decks. And it's kind of like, truly, you know, like, my wife asked me, what are you going to talk about? And it's like, there's just great memories of ECU, period. And I'm just so thankful and happy for all the guys that I played with that can't talk, and but really want the sentiment to come through is that we're probably most proud of how the program is growing, and, you know, equally the press and everything. And we just want to keep making sure that keeps happening.
I remember when I walked in May of 1995, and then my dad was telling me 20 years is going to go by. And I was like, oh yeah, right, Dad, whatever. And we were standing on the grass, which is now the Murphy Center. You know, you think about the Murphy Center, strength and conditioning. Like, I feel like 100 years old now because of all the improvements. But that's actually what you need. If you don't grow, if you stay the same, you're going to die. And I feel like that's what's great about the program.
Right. No, that goofy sidewalk with the circle in it, and you're just like, what is this? And now, now it's a world-class training center, and they're getting ready to remodel that. So it's fun. It's neat to see, and, you know, I'm just happy for all my teammates and everyone else that's put a ton of time into that, because it's growing, and people are proud of it, and it's something to be proud of. But, you know, just right now, you know, it's not as healthy as it should be, but, you know, we've been through some spells. I mean, I went through a 10-9 season, but, or 2-9 season, I'm sorry. It felt like it was, you know, every game was lost by 3 points, but it's a grind, you know, it'll be all right. You know, you can't win every game, but you can sure to hell try to.
I was going to ask you about the 90, that season with Mark Crandall. I'll never forget. That's why I have to say, and I'm sorry if you're a Central Florida fan listening right now, I've always disliked Central Florida for what they did to Mark Crandall's leg. That I was at that game, and oh man, I still brings back bad memories that night.
Yeah, it's just a devastating situation where, you know, a young kid that probably wasn't in the rightest, you know, the most mental state, made a bad play, and unfortunately Mark was there and took the brunt of it. You know, that is unfortunate, because, you know, it's just not fun. So, you know, Mark had to suffer through that, and the worst part about suffering through that is Mark had to suffer through that, and then, I don't know if you remember, the backup quarterback, Chris Hester, he broke his thumb like 3 times. And then next thing you know, we had a true freshman. I think Anderson got kicked out of school before that.
Oh, that's right.
Anderson got kicked out of school, and then Mark came in, and then Hester broke his thumb, and then broke his thumb again. And then next thing you know, Well, Perez was actually at the end of the year playing quarterback, and he just came out of, you know, high school. So, I mean, it was a little trying year, but, you know, we all kind of hung in there and did what we needed to do. So, you know, just the growth of the program.
Yeah, and then you had the Liberty Bowl years. What was it like with 94 and 95? I mean, those were special years.
Yeah, there were. I mean, we had guys like John Krajicek and some other guys that came into the program to kind of help out. And, you know, no one wanted to lose. I mean, we were just tired of losing, and we all put in the work. You know, we had to go to work at, you know, training from Monday, Tuesday. I think the schedule was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And then next thing you know, that year you would see guys kind of coming in on Wednesdays and Saturdays, you know, getting extra work in. So it started developing kind of early where, you know, we all loved each other. We all made sure when we went to parties, everyone was taken care of and things like that. So you kind of saw it kind of blossoming and just getting better. And so you could just kind of see it on the field where everyone kind of grew into their roles, say to speak. You know, guys that were young that weren't really making the plays kind of just stepped in the roles and started making the plays. And some of the other guys that weren't just kind of moved aside. So it was kind of neat. Kind of felt bad the first Liberty Bowl game. I thought I thought we'd be a little bit more competitive. And, you know, a lot of people still always ask me why I say that. I'm like, we were good, man. Our offense was great and our defense was good. And we just didn't show up, you know? Yeah. So everyone's talking about unfinished business, but we should just finish the business that we were starting. So, and then, you know, my senior year when we beat Stanford, that was a great thing because a lot of those guys deserved it. They all worked hard, guys on special teams, guys that were just backup guys worked hard. And, you know, they kick your ass and, you know, practice and they didn't care, man. They wanted your job. It was fun, man. We had a good time. So, you know, it went from kind of, you know, a great, you know, peach bowl year to a kind of a letdown year or two, and then kind of it built back up where the program kind of leveled off and we had pretty much success for the next couple of years. So it was a good feeling.
I was going to ask you, there's people in the media and fans that have made the comparison of when you have a situation with Logan. I think the first year was winning a few games, and then the second year, the Mark Crandall situation, which was tough. Second game of the year was 2-9, like you mentioned. You have then the third year with 94 was like the breakout year. Do you think that'll be a break? I know we've mentioned we were talking about earlier. Do you think that's a possibility this year for the Pirates to have the third year under Montgomery be the breakout year?
Anything's possible. You just got to do it. You know, yeah. ask me if he has the talent. He's got the talent there. You know, this is East Carolina. You're not getting schmucks to, you know, walk on the field. You got great talent, man. And everyone kind of forgets about that. And we can compete with anyone. We can compete with the big boys. And you just go back to when we played and all that stuff. So it's all about addressing the situation. You know, you got David there. He was our GA when I was, you know, 92, 93, 94. Good. I mean, you got him. I'm like, you can't win with, you know, you got some good coaches. You got who else is on the staff that was in our classes? Jason Nichols. I mean, you got good coaches. I mean, so the breakout year, I don't know about the breakout year, but can he be competitive? Yeah. I mean, you got to start seeing games, even if we lose, you know, 17-21 or 24-21-22. You can't have blowout games. So
it can't be 70-13 like in Memphis.
No. You can't. You got to be competitive. And you'll see that right away. I mean, even if the guys lose the first couple of games, you'll see where their hat's at and you'll see what's going on. So I just think, I don't know, man. You got too much going on there. I think, like I said earlier in the interview, man, he's doing the right stuff in coaching. We'll just see what happens if he can get the guys to make it happen. There's talent there. There's guys that can make plays. So just get it going. I mean, you know, it's not.
We just heard that there's the 2019 recruiting class is number one in American, and then the top 50 recruiting class. So that's something to look forward to. But it takes more. I want to ask you about that because you recruited. It takes more than just great recruits. It's what you do on the field, right? I mean, even if we had five-star recruits coming in East Carolina, we don't. But if we did, you still have to have five-star coaching, and it kind of has to blend together. The players have to buy into what he's doing.
Yeah, all that stuff needs to get, you know, I mean, there's a growth process, too. So, you know, I played when I was a true freshman. Mofo and I played right out of high school. And it's a process. You just, you know, you want to be great. You know you can be great. You see the talent there, but there's a few things that have to happen. So, you know, if these kids are getting their playing time, you'll see the growth. You know, like I said, you got some talent. You got some good coaching. It'll happen. Is it going to happen quick enough? Is the big question. And you know, quite frankly, you know, everyone's like, we're in a good league, man. You don't get any gimmies anymore. You know. So,
right. I want to ask you. I know you're out in California. What do you do out there in California? What are you up to these days?
So right now, currently, we just build custom homes around the beach area, about 20 minutes south of LAX. They call it Manhattan Beach. They call it the South Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing our thing, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa, Redondo, Torrance. Build custom houses. Got two kids. Yeah, I got two kids. That's 1-6 and 1-3. And, you know, just kind of makes our life is good, you know?
Yeah, what's great. This has kind of been like a football player reunion, if you will. It's great to hear you guys and your voices. And, of course, we hear you guys on Pirate Radio. You do an excellent job when just calling in. And it's great to relive a lot of great memories. And that's one great thing that I want to say about tonight is whenever I came up with the idea, it was so like the last couple of years, it's been a lot of lemons out there, and we were trying to make lemonade, especially to honor the players. We want to make very clear that we love the players, we support the players, and we love what you guys have done for us, and a lot of great memories for my college years and beyond. And like you said, there's times when we've had some down years, but overall, I really feel like we're going to right the ship.
Definitely, and I really appreciate you guys in the radio and the media doing everything you guys do for us, and you guys kind of help keep pushing everything through. I just leave you guys with a little tidbit. I remember coming back to the West Virginia game, and John Thomas was the coach, and you know, there's six other stories I can tell you, but I remember walking, just kind of leaving the game, and there was an old couple, ECU old couple, and they must have been 75, and you know, I've been around all the big donors and all that other good stuff, and it's all fun, but I just looked at them, I said, it's hard, and they just looked at me, and they're like, they just kind of smiled and just said, you know what, we're Pirates. We've had a few of these years. It'll be all right, but the best part of being a Pirate is, you know, there's some good stuff coming. So, you know, it's a weird kind of story, and it's you know, some people think it's silly, but, you know, I heard that, and I was kind of walking. I had my head up proud, and I was like, you know what? They're so right. So I had so many good memories and so many fun activities and things that I did with a lot of people, even though we had some down times. But you know it's coming, so I'm not worried about it. It'll be there.
It definitely will, and I hope you'll come back, and definitely we'll keep in touch with you. Thank you so much for your time tonight and your time on the field with the Pirates. And we're going to, like we said, we're going to right the ship, and hopefully we can get back to a bowl this year.
Oh, don't worry about it. We'll be back there sooner or later. Anytime you guys need anything, you can call me or any of our teammates. We'll be there. Anything you need, we're around. Appreciate it.
What a great interview. He is, you know, what's great about Mark is he is, guys, I'm telling you right now, I know that his age, but as far as his heart, intensity, his passion, He is ready to play right now, and he's in his mid-40s like I am. So I know that he would, if he could, he would definitely line him up for East Carolina still if he had some eligibility.
Yeah, great. A lot of passion. You got to love a guy like that.
Love to have more Mark Lebianos on the team for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. I was going to say, Mark, like you said, his passion really came out in that interview, and he seems like if we're ever able to meet Mark face-to-face in Greenville sometime in a ball game or wherever the Pirates are playing, that he's someone that would be very fun to hang out with.
He is. I tell you, this is the God's honest truth. The night that I recorded that interview with him, I don't normally tell these stories, but it was funny because he caught me off guard. I said, "Are you ready to record?" He said, "Let's go!" like that. And, it caught me off guard because most of the players are like, yeah, okay, cool. They were like real chill, you know? And he said, "Let's go," really loud, and I'll never forget that. So, Mark, buddy, we love you. And all the players are very special. They have their own personalities. But you can tell, I'll just say this, you can tell that he was definitely a linebacker. You know what I mean? Tough as nails. All right, next up, who do we have?
We're going to be talking to Emmanuel McDaniel, EMAC, as he was typically known. Had an excellent career for us. He came to us as a running back and then made that transition to defensive back after being fairly reluctant to do so, but as he admits, that move was certainly for the best, and he went on to a nice little career in the NFL as well, with New York Giants, the Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals, and so EMAC, when I think of his career, I think of the pick six he had down at Southern Miss in that wild game that I believe we won something like 36-34, where we faked the field goal to make it a more manageable field goal, and then Chad Holcomb put it just inside the right upright for the victory.
Yep.
Let's go to EMAC, one of the all-time greats when it comes to DBs. Let's go to him right now.
Here on the Sports Objective Podcast, and we're here with another great Pirate player of all time, Emmanuel McDaniel, played in the Logan years. And EMAC, thanks so much. Appreciate you coming on the Sports Objective Podcast.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much. In fact, one of the best defensive of all time, one of the best DBs, and one of the best defenses is certainly when you look in the Logan years. I wanted to ask you, how did you get recruited to come to East Carolina?
Actually, I got recruited as a running back.
Wow.
And it was funny because my first year, my freshman year, I played like five different positions. I was like, man, I want to get out of here. Because, I mean, all I played in high school was running back. So I never played defensive back. So when they decided to move me to DB, I was like, no, it's not going to work for me. But I ended up staying. And after that first year, I think my sophomore year, I just wanted to coach Mosin. And I was like, all right, I'm here. Just put me at a position to lead me. I don't care what it is. Just lead me there, and I'll be all right. So they ended up moving me to corner, and I kind of got used to it and, you know, made the best of it, and it all worked out for me.
And boy, did ever. I think there was a few years in there where you led the team with interceptions.
I know, right.
There was two or three years there, and, of course, that 1995 defense, you guys, when you won the Liberty Bowl with Lebianos at linebacker, I know the Hart twins were back there as well. You guys had one of the best defenses as well. Travis Darden, I know, was there as well. And you're one of my favorite defensive teams, well, because you guys were tough.
Yeah, I mean, we played well. You know, Morris Foreman was on that team. Right. I mean, we all kind of just stuck together and was like, all right. You know, that first year we didn't score any points in the Liberty Bowl. So that second year we went to the Liberty Bowl. It was like, all right, you know, offense, the more points you score, the better. But it was like, all right, defense, we got to step up and, you know, help the offense out and try to win this game. So, I mean, you know, that game worked out for us. And I think we actually had a real good defense that year.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we all stuck together, and I don't think anything could stop us. We were like, all right, we're winning this game.
In fact, I think the score was something like 19-13. You beat a great Stanford Cardinal team. I mean, I think they only gave up, You guys only gave them, it was 13 points, if my memory serves me right.
Right. I mean, we actually, it's funny because we actually went to our kicker, Chad Holcomb, like, Chad, just make your field goals, we'd be all right. Just make all your field goals, we'd be all right. And after Darren stepped in front of that out route and picked that pass off, I was like, all right, we got this game. Let's go.
And it was one of my favorite games, especially when that 94, like you said, that 94 Liberty Bowl, when you get shut out by Illinois, I know that had to hurt, but it had to be sweet to come back the next year and win the Liberty Bowl in Memphis over a great Stanford team.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it really was. I mean, funny part about it, I played with a couple of Ken Dilger. I played with him in Indianapolis. He used to rib me about that all the time. I was like, dude, if we'd have played y'all that second year, we would have beat y'all behind.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, that 95 team, it was funny because people talk about Coach Logan taking over the team, of course, at 92. And it seemed like to me, the team, it was like a stair step. By the time the third year under Logan, that 95 team, boy, you guys were fourth year or something like that. You guys were on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, I think in 92 we lost, I think Marcus. Was it Marcus?
93, yeah. 93 yeah. with the second game of the year against one of the teams that I don't like, Central Florida.
Yeah.
Because they broke Mark Crandall's leg. That was one of the – I was at that game, and that was that was really rough.
Yeah, I think we finished like 2-9 that year.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like, as Coach Logan would say, that was like going through hell and with gasoline draws on. But I mean, that was like a miserable year. And I remember, you know, the whole team getting together, like, look, fellas, we do not want another year like this. Like,
right.
It's, you know, this is bad. And you know, and we started to build on that. You know, with Coach Connors getting behind us and getting us in shape, and we started to build off that and just made it happen.
I wanted to ask you that very question as far as we'll get to later on about you being a strength and condition coach, but let's talk about your coach, a guy that definitely knows a lot about strength and conditioning, and that's Coach Jeff Connors. How well does he prepare you for a game? Like, in other words, it seems like the one thing I can always hang my hat on when I talk about the Pirates is, the Pirates are going to fight to the bitter end, especially when it comes to the strength. You may beat you on the field. The team may beat you, but they're not going to give up as far as a heart, and they're definitely going to be in it as far as mentally and strength-wise.
Right. I mean, I think with him, it was like he always told us, he was like, we will not lose in the fourth quarter. He was like,
right.
I don't care what the score is, we're not losing in the fourth quarter. And I mean, I vividly remember just standing in front of guys and looking them in the face, and they're dead tired. And I'm like, dude, it's like the first quarter to me. I mean, that's what he built that mentality to. It was like, all right, we refuse to lose in the fourth quarter. And I think that one year, somebody beat us like, in the fourth quarter, they beat us like 3-0. And we went out that Sunday, and he ran us to death. He was like, we do not lose in the fourth quarter. And from then on, I don't think we lost a game the whole time I was there in the fourth quarter. I mean, Coach Connors is like my second dad. And I told him this when I went there to work. I was like, you like my second dad. I mean, when I came to ECU, it was like, you know, you kind of looking for that father figure when you go to school there.
Right.
You know, when you go to school anywhere because your parents are so far away. I mean, and like I said, he became my second dad. And I told him, you know, you're part of the main reason my career ended what it was in the NFL. I mean, that's how much love I got for that man.
He definitely prepared you. And I know after the Pirates, you went on to – I remember very vividly that you went to the Panthers, and that had to be very special to play for a team in North Carolina. I know you're from Georgia, but to play that close away as far as – it wasn't like playing out in San Francisco. Your family could still come see you play games and stuff like that.
Right. I mean, my parents were like, you know, 3.5-4 hours away.
Right.
East Carolina was like 3.5 3.5 hours away. I mean, that was a blessing. I mean, I was very happy to get drafted by the Panthers. And I ended actually when I left, I ended up coming back to the Panthers after I left the Giants. I got a phone call. Well, I told my agent to make a phone because I was actually in training camp with Cleveland and up there with Pagano. And I told my agent, I was like, look, man, I want to go home and play. So he called the Panthers, and I ended up going back there to play because Fox was my defense coordinator when I was in New York, and he became the head coach of the Panthers. So I ended up coming back home and playing, and, man, it worked out for me. Had a good year and had a blast.
I wanted to ask you, because you're fast as lightning. I'm sure you're probably still fast now. How fast is the NFL? I've asked a few Pirate players, but I want to ask you because I love your speed. How fast is the college game versus the pro game? How much faster is it?
I mean, it goes to a whole nother level. I mean, wow. It's fast, but when you get to the NFL, it's like every player is fast.
Right.
I mean, you got some linebackers running like safeties.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's to be honest with you, the thing that I had to get used to was the speed of the quarterbacks and the accuracy of the quarterbacks. I mean, they threw the ball, it was like right on the money before the receiver even broke. That ball is coming.
Wow.
So
and their release time and all that, and the drop back in just a couple seconds, they've already released the ball, right?
Right. It's like they drop back and just throw it. If he's there, he's there. If not, it's an incomplete pass or could possibly an interception. So, I mean, the speed of the game drastically changed.
That's crazy because I know how fast college is being around it a lot. I know how fast high school is. Of course, college seems to be faster than high school, but I can't imagine how fast it is in the pros.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, the whole team is just fast.
It's the best of the best of the best, right?
Right. I mean, what is it? One out of every 300-400 make it.
I was
very blessed to make it to that level.
Absolutely. And then when you got done, I know you went and I know you spent some time. Was it Akron that you were coaching?
Actually, I did NASCAR before I went to Akron.
I didn't know about that. And we've got Jeff Carr and Big Ed Watkins, and so I didn't know you did that as well. That's awesome.
I was a tie carrier in the Bush League. I was back when it was a Bush League. I was a tie carrier for a race team, and I actually got called up to a Cup team. I got a phone call one night, and they were like, well, if we qualify, we're going to fly to California. Pit one of our cars. I'm like, all right, let's go. And we ended up not qualifying. That's when I told my wife, I was like, look, I'm going up to Akron. I had called Coach Fleming, see if they had a position up there for me to coach. And he was like, no, but we got to, you can come over here and volunteer for a year and we'll find you somewhere to go. So I ended up packing the house up, selling the house, moving to Akron, and volunteered for a year. And then the next year, they hired me as a corners coach.
That's really cool because I've always had, I don't know, I'm from North Carolina and the eastern part of the state here at north of Greenville and Williamston, but I've always had an affection for, I love the style, of, I guess maybe the style of play, but I love the MAC conference and you played, I love that nickname too, the Zips.
Yeah.
How do you like coaching? How did you like coaching there with them?
I mean, I love coaching. I mean, I tell people all the time, two things I was put on this earth to do, I think, play football and coach football. I mean, that was like just my passion.
Right.
And I had like, the whole time I was there, I had like three guys end up making it to the NFL.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, it was a blast. And our staff ended up, getting let go, but that part was tough. But
yeah.
I decided to get out of coaching because my kids started playing sports. So I was like, all right, it's time to raise them and move on from what I want to do and, you know, pretty much coach them and getting them into playing sports.
I know you came back under Coach Connors. You actually came back and your strength and conditioning assistant coach, was it 2011 to 2014?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that was like my dream to come back to ECU and coach. I wanted to coach football, but, you know, I also love Coach Connors, and I was like, all right, whatever capacity I can get in and help out, I'll do it. So I ended up coming back there in 2011, and, you know, especially rough as a head coach, I was like, all right, I know all these people, so this is like home now. I mean, East Carolina's always been home, but it's like, you know, I got all ECU people around me, so.
Right.
That was a blast. I mean, the bowl games we went to and everything like that, but, I mean, it was nice.
Especially, how did it feel to your player under when Jeff Connors, he was training you? How was it as an assistant? Harder on you as an assistant coach as far as strength and conditioning than when you were a player?
I mean, to be honest with you, nothing really changed. I mean, that's all I knew. All I knew was the way Coach Connors coached us, and that's the way right. I coached all the kids. I'm like, that's really all I knew, and it was like, I'm like, nothing really changed. I'm like, this man taught me and, you know, took me as far as I could go. So I'm taking his philosophy and try to do the same to other kids.
Right, and you're definitely a winner because you showed that on the field. I know your stats, but I tell you what, I know it's because of we're about the same age. So with that that time period under Logan being probably my favorite coach for the Pirates, and then that time period when I was in college, I know the '93 season, like we talked about, was not fun for you guys, but. Otherwise, it was pretty much a great time for my college career. Following the Pirates and being a student at ECU was a really cool time.
Right. I mean, I got to give credit to all those guys that came before me. I mean, I was there on that 91 team. That was my freshman year. And wow. Those guys taught me the way the game should be played. I mean, Chris Hall, Robert Jones, Jeff Blake,
yeah.
All them guys were like, you know, them guys I looked up to. I'm like, this is where the game should be played. We finished ninth in the country, and I'm like, all right, let's repeat this.
Yeah.
So I got to give a lot of credit to them guys. And that was the first year Coach Connors was there, and, I mean, he ran us to death. I got to the NFL, and them guys were like, dude, you never get tired. I'm like, no, we ran a lot more than this in college. And I remember going to the Panthers and everybody was doing like hammer strength. I'm like, what is hammer strength? You know, all the stationary machines where you just lift and lift and lift and do these, you know, certain exercises and you're done. It was like 30 minutes, you're done. I'm like, I'm not used to this.
So it's like you're like a Ferrari going really slow when you're used to going really fast and just bringing everything you got.
Right. So when I got to the Giants, I talked to the strength coach, and I was like, Coach, this is not me. I'm not used to this. So he started letting me use free weights. And, you know, working out, he was like, all right, I know you'll work out. And so, you know, do this. And I used to work out with hammer strength and then turn around and work out with free weights. I'm like, this is not helping me. I'm like, I'm losing weight. I'm like, so this is not what I'm used to. And
I remember hearing up until a few, was it Cincinnati or Cleveland, one of the Ohio teams, NFL, they didn't even have like I don't know if it was strength and conditioning coach, or it was something that was really mind-boggling to think about how big a level that is, and they didn't have like a lot of stuff when it came to that. That's a huge part of the game, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, but when you're at the NFL, they pretty much – it's almost like you lift weights to the oldest guy on the team. You just lift weights to not get stronger. You lift weights just to maintain. And with Coach Connors, we were, you you know, we were lifting weights to stay strong and get stronger throughout the season.
Right.
And NFL is like, all right, we're just trying to keep you from getting hurt. I'm like, that just don't work for my body. I mean, always resulted back. I mean, guys would leave, and I'm like, I need to do some extra running. This is what I'm used to. And I just tried to carry that attitude all throughout my career.
That's really cool. I tell you, I love Coach Connors. He was a part of the Nostalgia Party. He's tremendous. And I'm praying we can keep him for a long, long, long time, because he's one of the guys. I've seen the results personally in the media. I've seen when he worked out our guys, and what the first guy that took a PE class when he threw up. And I'll never forget, he said, he came to the station, he said, "Dude, I threw up." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I thought he had like the flu or something. I was wondering why he was even there. And he was talking about where Coach Connors, I'm just taking a regular PE class, and Coach Connors got me run up and down the stadium steps, and he told me all this stuff. And I was like, "Oh my God, that guy's intense." And I knew from that was like maybe the middle 90s, 95, 90, well, 96 or something like that. And he told me about that. And I was like, "Man, I don't want any part of that. That's rough."
Yeah, that's him. I never forget the one comment he made one day. We had some players late for like 5:30 weightlifting, and I never forget. He told us, he called us all up, and he was like, "Look, if you're late again, I will kill you for a whole hour."
Oh.
And I remember saying that thing, and I'm like, "How can you die for a whole hour?"
He's intense. I'll tell you, he's one of the most, I know you can probably say that this is an understatement of the year or a century, but he's one of the most, if not the most intense person I've ever met. And I'm being honest when I say that.
I mean, he is. And I mean, he used to give out like pregame speeches, and he literally had us to the point to where it was like, "I'm really ready to go play on a Friday night. Can we play them now?" I mean, seriously. I mean, you would literally go to bed with chills and couldn't wait to get up the next morning to play.
Wow. That's awesome. I tell you what, he's one of the best. It's hard. I tell you, I don't want to think about the day when he retires. I don't want to use that word, because we already found out what happened when he left last time. So I hope that he'll, I hope he'll just stay, and maybe the next 20 or 30 years, just keep doing what he's doing, because he's tremendous. I wanted to ask you, what are you up to now? Because I know all Pirate fans want to know what that's one of the great things about doing the project we've been working on, is it's been great to catch up with guys we haven't heard from in a number of years.
Right. I mean, right now I got a criminal justice degree. So I was sitting at home one day and I was like, "You know what? I think I'm going to use this degree." And I actually called Coach Conner to see if I can get a reference. So I'm like, I got this degree. I've coached. I did NASCAR. You know, I'm like, all right, I might as well use this degree since I got it.
Absolutely. EMAC, it's time to write a book. You've done so much already in a short period of time. You can write a book. A lot of us would buy it for sure.
I'm trying to. I mean, like I told my wife, I said, I'm trying to get a second pension. Got my pension through the NFL. I'm trying to get another pension.
I don't blame you. You got plenty of time to get that done. I got to tell you a funny story before we go. You and I had a softball class in 1994, the summer, and I'd had a bad semester. So I was doing anything, honest to God, I was doing anything to get my GPA up. And I was thrilled that I know you, and I know definitely you were in there with me. And I'll never forget, I got a pitch. I was so excited. I hit a single to right field, and I was running as fast as I could. And you thought I was taking it easy, and you were yelling at me like I wasn't running fast enough, but the reality was I was just that slow. So I'll never forget that.
Yeah, you can blame that on Coach Connors, because nothing was ever good enough. We always knew we could push ourselves farther.
Well, that's definitely true. It may be that in my mindset, and at that time I couldn't run faster, but you can always to a certain extent, I know I could never run as fast as you guys, but I tell you what, I was thrilled to death to be in the same class with you. You're tremendous, and I'm proud of you for what you've done, and I know what you'll do. I appreciate all the hard work you did for the Pirates, because you gave us, and there's a lot of guys
during that time, and I know we'll have that again, but I appreciate all that you did for ECU and putting on that uniform. It means a lot, and there's a lot of people like myself that people say, why in the world do you always talk about East Carolina? And they like, I'm a cheerleader. It's because of they let me in. I shouldn't even got in East Carolina. And then the fact that I graduated, and then there's a lot of great Pirate victories on the field too.
Hey, all our bloods are purple. Once you go to East Carolina, you're East Carolina forever. You bleed purple. And that'll always be.
That's right. I'm going to die a pirate for sure.
No doubt. I may have that on my, matter of fact, I'm going to have that on my tombstone.
So with purple in your veins?
Yep, no doubt.
Absolutely. Well, EMAC, I appreciate you, and definitely would love to have you back on during football season, and definitely thank you so much for spending time with us.
All right, thank you.
Guys, I have to tell you a really funny story really quick about EMAC. He actually was, you know, the players go to, they keep their course loads down, they go to summer school. And I did the same thing because I had a really hard major, believe it or not, in political science. And I was taking a softball class, and I took one with EMAC and some of the players. And I'll never forget, I hit a ball, and it was a beautiful – I hit it right in the sweet spot. It goes into right field like a rocket.
You and literally meant a softball class.
Yeah.
I thought you were using that as a term.
No, I did. He and I met him. He's a great guy, but he was giving me a hard time because I was running as fast as I could, but it wasn't that fast. And he thought that I was lollygagging down the first base line, and that was really as hard as I could go. But he's a great guy, a great teammate, and I told him about that. He thought it was really funny. He said that it was because of Connor's intensity. That back in that day that, you know, maybe I could have given more. I don't know. But in that moment when I was running, I felt like that was as fast as I could go. But I'll never forget EMAC. He's one of my all-time favorites, and that's why. He was a really funny guy and a great personality. You couldn't help but love him.
Yeah, great pirate. Made a lot of big plays under the Logan era.
All right, Bubba. I know we have two down, and we're over a little over halftime now. We've got one more to go. And this is a very special player to me. I had a chance to talk to him, and he was one of those guys that – I'm going to tell you who he is in just a second. He was one of those guys that was just the nicest guy off the field. As you hear in the interview, he's like this really nice, kind of quiet – he's got a great personality, jovial kind of guy. But on the field, let me tell you, he was one of the meanest players we've ever had to play – on the field. I'm talking about Travis Darden, right, Bubba?
Yeah, Travis, obviously those teams in the mid-90s, they had some excellent defenses, particularly the 95 and 96 teams. And Travis Darden was part of the defensive line, was Rod Coleman, et cetera. And Travis, I really think back to some of the hits he made. One, I'm trying to remember the running back's name from NC State, but he hit him right as he was, right after he had taken the handoff and just absolutely slammed him to the turf. And that's one that sticks in my mind as far as Travis goes. But,
that was the 96 game. That was the Charlotte 96 game. And let me just say, Travis.
Hey, guys, I got an emergency here. I got to go. You guys continue without me. It's nothing life threatening, but I'll be in touch.
All right. All right, Kyle, wish you the best, man. Anyway, Bubba, we know that we'll keep on. The show must go on, but hopefully, Kyle, everything is okay there. We're recording these during the post, I guess, Hurricane Florence kind of stuff, and so you never know what's going to happen, but it makes us thankful that there's a lot of folks that are not blessed right now, and Kyle, I know, has had some issues at one of his houses, so we pray that everything is okay there, but Travis is tremendous. Let's go ahead and play that interview with Travis Darden right now. Another outstanding player for the East Carolina Pirates, a Pirate Football Nostalgia Party. That's what it's all about. And with us right now, Travis Darden. Travis, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're special to me for many reasons. One is because you were originally from Bertie County in Kelford, and I'm from Martin County, so in Williamson. So you were always one of those special players for me. I wanted to
bring you in to talk about, first out of the gate, what are your memories of East Carolina and being a Pirate playing for Coach Logan?
Oh, man. East Carolina, honestly, changed my life. Coach Logan just was really one of the best people, not just coaches, people, you know, in my life that changed my life in a lot of ways. Like you just mentioned, if anybody's ever gone through Kelford, North Carolina in Berkeley County, you know, it's not a whole lot there. We got a post office up front on Front Street, on Main Street, and that's about it. I still remember my post office box. There's only about 150 of them. And, you know, Coach Logan coming into my life and giving me that opportunity to play Division I football just really changed the trajectory of who I would become as a man. So East Carolina is bigger. Football was big, but what it did for me in my life is even bigger, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you actually come out of one of the powerhouses, especially at that time, Bertie High School. And what was it like for Coach Logan? Do you remember anything he said to you that really sold you on the program?
You know, he was just genuine, honestly. And, you know, I had some challenging circumstances where my mother had some health issues. And so I knew I wasn't going to leave the state because I needed to, you know, be nearby so that I could, you know, check on my mother. I'm an only child, and she was my only parent at the time. And so once that got narrowed down, you know, it made sense for me to do something in the state. And I was recruited by quite a few people, but Coach Logan just came in with a different level of genuineness and just honesty that, you know, I could appreciate, you know, being a country boy out of Bertie. You know, you appreciate honesty and integrity. And he did that, and he proved it every day to me during my whole career.
A very special individual, as you said, and he was the coach when I was in college as well. So I think you always remember those people the most. I wanted to ask you about your playing career. I know one of the games I remember, there was a fumble recovery you did for, again, the Liberty Bowl against Stanford. What was that like?
You know, even to this day, my buddies are ragging about not being able to score and getting arm tackled by a lineman. You know, when something like that happens, it happens so fast and you just don't expect it. And you're like, oh man, I got the ball. And you know, you just, your mind's telling you one thing, your mind's running faster than your legs that actually can go. And I couldn't get to the end zone with that. So, yeah, it's one of my many regrets because Rod Coleman has actually scored a touchdown, and he still reminds me of that when we get together.
Well, I wanted to ask you about, I've already talked to Jeff Carr, and there's some other guys we've talked to, and Kevin Monroe.
Yeah.
Those guys, I tell you what, I'll put the defense you guys had at that time up against any defense that's ever played for East Carolina, and I'm being sincere when I say that because I remember when starting out as a young broadcaster, and you guys were all young back then.
Yeah.
And I remember very vividly how great you guys are, gracious. And then you guys are nice off the field. And then, man, when you got on the field, you guys were mean. And I think that's one of the things that stands out. What was it like playing with some of the fellas, like I mentioned, with in particular starting out with Rod?
Let me tell you, from Kevin, I always called him the mayor. Jeff Carr, you know, called him Wood because he brought the wood. I mean, all those guys were just, we were a cast of characters that really came together and laid it all on the field. And when you're playing with people like that, day in and day out, you do what it takes. And, you know, at the time, you know, we just believed that we could play with anybody in the country. And during that time, I believe we could. And we proved that in a lot of ways in some of the classic games that we were up against some, you know, some pretty good sized opponents. And so just playing with them and, you know, spending a lot of time, you know, day in and day out. You know, a lot of people don't realize what Division I football is like at college. You're not a normal student. There's a lot of time put together. And if you're going to be any good, you're going to spend the summer together too. And that's what life was like. But I couldn't have been around a better group of guys during that time. And the success we had, you know, just something I'll always be proud of.
I know one of the players that comes to mind in 96, you had a big game in that NC State game, remember? And one of the guys reminded me to mention, Bubba did, about how you bulldogged the running back, I believe, in that game at NC State in Charlotte. Do you remember that?
You know, not the specific play, but I knew that it meant something special to beat NC State. Okay, that's going to happen. There's just a different level of focus. I think the campus changes when that happens, when you're playing NC State. And so, yeah, it's just the level of intensity will be raised, and we would always bring it to NC State. So, and I feel like that probably hasn't changed these days, but then it was really something special. But, no, I made a few plays there, and obviously many others. And so those were always good classic games to play against NC State when you knew a lot of those guys across from the field from you, from other high schools and things of that nature. So it was special.
That's right. I remember stories I'll tell you off the air, but I remember one in particular I'll tell you off the air. But as far as NC State goes, but 2019, by the way, for the folks that are listening, the very first game of the 2019 season, Labor Day weekend, is in Raleigh at NC State. That's going to be a huge game. We're not going to look ahead that far, but just let everybody know that that's one you definitely want to be at if you can possibly get a ticket for that game.
Absolutely.
Circle that one on your calendar. I can't remember the exact day, but it's definitely Labor Day weekend of 2019. I definitely know that. I wanted to ask you your memories as far as the summertime. We're in the summertime now, getting ready for 2018. What's it like for one of my favorite people, Coach Connors?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Coach Connors, let me tell you. Coach C, obviously, there my entire time. And Coach C was the foundation and the game changer. You know, Coach Logan is one of the smartest guys you'll ever meet, one of the smartest men you ever meet, full of philosophy, got a lot of things that can motivate people. Coach C gets in the dirt, okay? And he just really knows how to get the best out of a player. He did that for me physically and psychologically. You know, he had me believe I was the best nose guard in the nation. And we did that in the weight room and on the field for conditioning. And so, you know, he's another person that, you know, Coach Logan, obviously, you know, he's the head coach and gets the credit for the success we had. Coach Connors was just that backbone that really made it happen, that helped stamp the toughness on that team and that era when we were playing. And so he was definitely instrumental to all the success we had. And the summers were very tough. I'll just be honest with you.
You missed
300. Well, you know, parts of it, you know, you think about it, the camaraderie with the guys and things. And, you know, after it's done for the day, you're feeling great. But the anticipation of having to make, you know, we called them 300s during the time.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, I had put on quite a bit of weight to play nose guard and, you know, trying to carry that around the field, and you would just lay it all out there. So games were easy by the time you got to the fall.
Thank God we have the games, right?
Yeah,
I remember my stats in my head. I think you're 6'1 at the time. I know you were 280. Are you still that weight today?
Oh, God, no. We won't talk about that.
Okay.
No, I do well. I love lifting weights. I always have. Always been a strong person. You know, I love lifting weights. And, you know, I grew up working in tobacco fields and cucumber patches and things of that nature. So I'm a country boy. That happened. But no, not quite. I'd say I'm a little north of that. And my wife reminds me of it often. She says, you don't tackle people anymore, so you probably need to bring that in a little bit. So, but I try to keep it healthy. You know, I got small kids now, and, you know, you want to make sure you can at least catch them, you know, before they turn teenagers. And we're right on the edge right now. My 8-year-old can probably run with me step for step.
Wow. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you have sons or daughters, the first time talking to you in a long time.
Do you,
being the career that you had, and I know there's a lot of controversy, people talking about playing football and concussions, do you think it's okay for kids, or your particular case, your sons, to play?
You know, I do. The thing about with my kids, you know, they're not quite normal size. So I
imagine that.
Yes. My boys, I got two boys. They're 8 and 6. And I got twin girls that are 4. And, you know, they're big kids. My 8-year-old wants to play now. And, you know, I live in Indianapolis now. They have all these leagues and things out here. And I haven't let him play yet because I feel like his self-awareness just isn't where it needs to be. And so I'll let him get a little bit older. But I really think that, you know, with that knowledge of, you know, the concussions and things like that, we also have to look at teaching the kids how to play it the right way and right. Not use your head and things of that nature, because a lot of these injuries that, you know, have come out to the light can happen in any sport. And because there are collisions, you know, in other sports as well that can make those things happen. I just don't live in fear in that way. I feel like one of my boys will play. I think the oldest will. The 6-year-old, he hasn't decided yet, so we'll figure it out.
Well, can you go ahead and give him a scholarship now for East Carolina?
Well, you know, somebody's going to ECU. It's got to happen. So I'm not sure which one or which two or four. I'm not certain on that, but I feel like I'll raise a decent athlete here.
Yeah, we have a nice little pipeline from, we have them usually East Coast. Maybe we can add Indianapolis to it.
Absolutely. I'm still fairly connected. So, you know, social media helps with that. So I still know some people in the area.
Yeah, we've been asking for the players. I know you're in Bertie County, Kelford, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Is it your wife? What led you to Indianapolis? I was surprised when you told me you were in Indianapolis now.
Well, yes. My wife's work brought us here, and it was just such a great opportunity. It's been almost 3 years now.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was in the Washington, D.C. area, which, you know, isn't far from North Carolina. You can kind of do a 4-hour trip and be home. But we came out here for, you know, that opportunity, and it's been great. And it's the Midwest, very similar to, you know, the Carolinas in a lot of ways. The winters are a little different. So,
yeah.
But it's been good. My wife, I say, she's the fancy one. She's an engineer, an MBA. I barely made it out of graduating college, and that's okay. I graduated.
You and I are in the same boat, my friend.
Yes. But she's the fancy one. So we wanted to make sure that she got this opportunity, and it's a great opportunity.
Well, and speaking of which, how about you doing very well? I'm really proud of you, obviously, for being a Pirate, but also you have a big job with Goodwill, right?
I do. I'm a regional director for Goodwill here in Indianapolis, and you know, working for the largest nonprofit in Indiana, it's been great. I love the type of work and the people that I'm able to assist and reach. So it's really been a capstone to my career. I've been in retail for several years, and, you know, it's similar to coaching in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But it's challenging, but it's very rewarding, and just really proud to be a part of this organization here in Indianapolis. So been able to do a lot of good things for the communities. And just really makes you feel great to be a part of it.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you, said coaching, do you have any desires to get back into coaching, or are there locally at a high school? There's a lot of Pirate players that have, are there any coaching now or that have been in coaching?
No, I don't think so. You know, as my kids get older, you know, I'll assist with some of that. You know, last year, my five-year-old, I coached his basketball team, which I know nothing about basketball. So I just had to pull up some YouTube videos for drills. But I just get involved with the kids' lives just to be try to be a good dad. But no, I'm no coach. I'm no coach. I the way I, you know, played and with intensity and things like that, if the player don't do that, then I got a problem.
Well, we definitely need you back in Greenville for that in East Carolina. I tell you what, it's very special time now, and we're going to turn it around. We're going to right the ship one way or another. We're going to do it, and I hope that a lot of guys like yourself can come back and maybe put the fear of God or something to these guys that, you know, we're winners at East Carolina. And I was going to ask you that. What do you think, the final question for you, what do you think about what do we have to do to turn things around? You've won at this huge level at East Carolina. Is there a certain key ingredients, or what do you think that we can do to win?
You know, it starts, you know, in the spring. It starts winter conditioning, spring, and summer training. You know, it's the process. And I didn't know, you know, then what I know now is that's what Coach Connors did. That's what Coach Logan did. They were bought in. Everybody was bought into the process of what it would take to have a winning season. And that's every day. And that has to happen throughout the tough months, those summer months when you don't, you know, necessarily want to do that type of work, but that's what prepares you for the fall. And so that's what it's going to take for ECU to get back on track to be that successful team that we've had for several years that we were super proud of. And I think that'll come back. I know a lot of guys I chat with from time to time. We're older now. We're in our early 40s and got kids and married and all that stuff. And we'll get to talking about it. And that's really the foundation of what makes it work. You know, it's the work, the day-to-day grind to get there and making that decision to, you know, be your best every day. So that was our formula then. We weren't fancy. We were just a bunch of guys that wanted to get it done from various places around the state and around the region. And it worked out well, and it's something I'll always be proud of.
Well, Travis, I could talk to you for hours. I appreciate your time. You're tremendous. I'm really proud of you. And what you always wonder, I've said that a lot for the players, but you always wonder what happened to Travis Darden, what happened to players. And I'm glad that it's a lot of good in your life. And good luck to you and your wife and kids in Indianapolis. And I hope that we can get some Dardens and a Pirate uniform in like 10 years or so.
How about that? Now, that would be phenomenal. I'll do my part on this side, but I'm looking forward to it. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to come to East Carolina.
Okay, Bubba, it's down to you and me, my friend. And I know Travis was tremendous from Kelford, North Carolina, and Indianapolis, as we heard in the interview. And just a tremendous guy. And he said he'll definitely come back on. And I told him about August 31st next year, the very first game of the season's NC State, and he was fired up when I told him about that. He loves the Pirates and still has the Pirates big time in his heart. He may be in Indianapolis, but he might as well be in Kelford or anywhere at Eastern North Carolina, including Greenville.
Yeah, there's no doubt Travis still loves the Pirates. You can just hear it in his voice, both on and off the air with that interview. And, yeah, hopefully it'll work out where Travis can make it back down for the NC State game or some game next year if he is unable to do so this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's tremendous, and what a great player. Appreciate you, Bubba, again, for all your hard work on the players. I know that they and I want to let everybody know that we are working very hard to get all the player interviews out, and we'll keep having them out over the next few weeks. We should have all of them out, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we will. Like Dave said, just the response was so overwhelming, so tremendous that that combined with other podcasts that we're doing with our weekly previews and recaps, we haven't been able to get anywhere close to all these interviews out yet. So bear with us, guys. We certainly haven't forgotten about you. We appreciate you taking the time to do an interview with us, and we'll get these out as quickly as we can for Pirate Nation to hear.
That's right. We've got a lot of great things coming up between now and certainly in 2018. And I want to take a time, Bubba, real quick before we go, to thank everybody that's listening to the podcast. We've got a lot of positive feedback. We've got a ton of people. And let's remind folks, they need to like. We're going to try to do more stuff on our with our social media, but they can like our Facebook page. And then we have for the handle for Twitter is at TheSportsOBJ. For Twitter, it's at The Sports Objective. And I know, Bubba, you've been working really hard. Two more places people can find stuff is SoundCloud. And obviously, another one that I'm really excited about is all your hard work on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I would say SoundCloud is one that had kind of been lagging behind due to the nature of how we need to upload our content. But we're trying to get that one up to speed. And then, as you mentioned, the YouTube channel, that's something hopefully a lot of you out-of-town Pirates may not be able to make it to Greenville. We're trying to put some things out there that you may not have the opportunity to see, such as the Smith-Williams Center, the new hitting indoor at the baseball stadium, Clark LeClaire, and then other things like that. It may not even be East Carolina-related. It may be high school sports-related. It may be another university or college, wherever we may be traveling, just things that we think you may be interested in seeing in terms of athletic facilities and otherwise.
It's going to be great. And again, we've got more things to come between the end of 2018. I will just say that. And obviously there's going to be, Bubba, I know that you know some things because you're on the end, but 2019 is going to be huge for the Sports Objective.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to what the future holds. I think it's just what we've been able to do in these first several months is just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, and in our response, we talked about the player response and our response from ECU and them, of course, media relations director Tom McClellan, and everything that he does, and the opportunity he provides us to talk to coaches and players, et cetera. Really can't say thank you to him enough. And then
I know Jody Jones and also Malcolm Gray that we'll be working with in the baseball season. They work really hard with him, and all the great staff that they have at Sports Information has been they're tremendous. They work really, really hard, and they're one of the unsung heroes, in my opinion, of East Carolina for the great job that they do. We've got basketball, baseball, all the different sports at East Carolina. We're trying really hard to get different coaches, right, Bubba? We're working on right now. And we've had, like you said, Bubba, we've had so many great people that have agreed to come on. It's a good problem to have. And so we have so much content and so little time like each week. So we're trying really hard to put out. I want to let people know, Bubba, too, that we're putting out bonus podcasts, different with previews and different things to try to catch up, and next year we'll do a better job of knowing. That's when you start something from scratch and from nothing, then you find out hindsight is 2020. And like Bubba said, we didn't know that we were going to have the response that we were going to have. But that actually speaks volumes of how great our university is, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then as far as some of those special guests and those bonus podcasts that you refer to them as, and say you're really going to want to make sure that you tune in and not miss these guests, because we have a Super Bowl winning quarterback that's going to be joining us and that you'll be hearing from in the coming weeks. And then not only that, you'll be hearing from a former FBS head coach at multiple universities who also played in Super Bowl I for Vince Lombardi. So you don't want to miss out on that. And some of you that are loyal followers of the college football landscape probably know who I'm referring to, but you'll really enjoy hearing from this gentleman.
And actually, we'll give you a hint. Rick Smith actually worked for him. So that's another one, the former defensive backs coach and defensive coordinator for East Carolina in many different places, actually coached under this great coach. And so a legendary coach, no doubt about it. Well, Bubba, let's wrap things up. I know we've talked a lot, but I wanted to make sure to get it out there. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, and I want people to keep listening to the previews. Like our, again, like our Facebook page, at TheSportsOBJ on Twitter. A lot of people are following us on Twitter, Bubba. I've been really excited about that, and but make sure about Facebook, Instagram. Tell your friends and family about us. We're getting, the word is getting around town and so to speak, and definitely around the world about the Sports Objective, and we appreciate you very much.
Yeah, we have a new graphic up on our Twitter account. Like you said, it's at TheSportsOBJ is the account, and you can go there, and we pinned this tweet today. It has all the places that folks can hear us as far as TuneIn, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, et cetera. So definitely check that out. And then if there's ever a topic or something that you would like to see us talk about on the show, that's what it has, our email on there. It's thesportsobj@gmail.com. So you can check that out and let us hear from you.
All right, Bubba. Well, hopefully Kyle is, everything's good. He's safe. The issue with his house. And so we were praying for all our, let me just say before we leave, we're praying for all of you that are in Eastern North Carolina that are not as fortunate as myself. And I know Kyle will probably say the same thing. I want to say my heart and prayers go out for the folks all over Eastern North Carolina, wherever you are, that things are bad. We just want to say we're thinking about you. We're praying hard for you. You're Eastern North Carolina. You're tough. You're strong people. And all the Pirate Nation is behind you 1,000%. And we're going to get better. We'll be stronger than ever on the other side. Right, Bubba?
Been in my prayers for sure. And I certainly wish nothing but the best for them. And I'm glad that this storm, at least from what I can tell from a distance, hasn't been quite as negative as what it could have been. Although folks like in New Bern and in the Lenoir County area have been affected very negatively.
That's right. There's places where the flooding is tremendous, and we'll keep our eye out of that. And certainly, again, our thoughts and prayers are with you. All right, until next time, Kyle from LaGrange Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.